You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats Podcast.
We were talking about this Urban Meyer thing during the break and just what you've seen over the last years in America where these leaders of football team become leaders of men and give off symbols for leadership. This is how you change a culture. This is how you fix an environment. Urban Meyer, come rescue us. You are the savior who will come in and you will teach my mailroom how to be tougher, and you're going to change our building with the strength of your will and character. Tomorrow, you will hear from Howard Bryant and Kate Fagan and Tom Haverstraw as they discuss how the coaching model throughout sports allows a whole lot of men to do bad things to kids. Just the way the culture of it works, we're putting our kids in the hands of men very often, most often men, and it's a prey ground. You're seeing it throughout sports with all of these stories coming out all over the place of this is what my coach did to me. Like it's Me Too. If it had a name, it's happening throughout sports where hockey leagues and tennis, they're all polluted. They're just polluted with some of these relationships between coaches and players that are problematic. And we were talking during the break, and there's just so much fascinating stuff happening around Urban Meyer and the kind of guy that you think you need to hire in that sport to teach your players the right thing. Because in that sport, I've been talking about this for a while, Stugatz, the racial tension in that sport. It's not lost on me that they've changed all the rules when Tom Brady gets hurt and they make sure that Peyton Manning's getting the commercials. You got to keep the white quarterbacks in the league as your stars, and it's getting harder. Because you can't, I mean, I've been having this conversation with Bomani for a decade about how all the rules are meant to change to prevent the NFL from being stuck with a bunch of conservative owners feeling like they're running a prison yard or whatever it is that the white power would assign to. I can't have my entire league be black. I'm going to Wellington Mara the taunting out of my league because that's what I associate with blackness. I'm going to get rid of the do-rags and because that's not a rule meant for Cole Beasley. And I'm going to make sure that this is palatable to my audiences. A guy kneels and it becomes about the flag for 4 years and he no longer works in the league. But now Patrick Mahomes is your star. And so Roger Goodell has to, okay, no, we're racism ends here in the end zone or stop racism. And the construct that I've always objected to, Stugatz, over 20 years of telling you stop with the coach stuff is, well, these black dudes need a white guy to come in there and be powerful and be smart on behalf of the general culture. General culture, I'm the general. They can't do it themselves, and it's absurd. The idea that Urban Meyer would come in there and make anybody on the Jags tougher at football than Bruce Arians is making them tougher at football. It disrespects what they do to their bodies and the work they put in, risking injury at every turn, to assume that they can't do it unless Urban Meyer teaches them how.
So why do these owners gravitate towards the disciplinarian head coach? And obviously, race is playing a factor here somewhat, but I also think a conversation that's not really being had is how the class system also plays a factor here. The class system in this country also pretty strongly divided upon racial lines, but let's take Shad Khan for an example. This isn't generational wealth. This is someone that came up from humble beginnings and worked himself up through the ranks and became a billionaire owner of one of 32 prize commodities, an NFL football
team. Can give his son a wrestling enterprise that is now going to be a monster business just because he's got so much money. He's got a yacht that was in a Netflix movie that is one of the biggest yachts in the world.
So why does he gravitate towards a Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, Urban Meyer type? And I just think there's a lot of ego, obviously, that comes with being a billionaire. And it's an ego stroke if someone comes up to you and says, no, it wasn't your problem. You're not the problem. These are good players. They're just not tough enough. And I think that there is just a mental mindset from a lot of billionaires, a lot of the wealthy people in power in that sport in particular, that they possibly couldn't have been this wrong. They're successful in every other phase of life. I'm not getting the return on my investment because these players are simply not tough enough. We got to work those people in the mailroom harder. I need the right person out here to sharpen these tools and get them tougher because I wasn't wrong. And that's how you end up with Dan Campbell being the head coach of the Lions.
And it's followed by a self-belief that it is those traits that got you to that success. I would imagine every billionaire who owns an NFL team is self-assured in their hard work, their cutthroat nature is the reason why they are billionaires and the reason why they own their teams. And therefore, they need to imbue that upon their NFL teams. They need to bring in a leadership figure that can assign those qualities and those traits to their football team.
You guys think that Man Campbell is killing the interview because he's just the Lions over a half a century of failure. They're just as bad as they ever were, and they've got Jared Goff, who's not a very good quarterback, and he's not going to fix anything with press conferences that bite your kneecaps.
He's going to fix it with his muscles, Dan.
You guys think he's just going into the room and flexing in front, like taking off his shirt?
I'd hire him.
And flexing in front of, it's still the Ford family,
It's still the Ford
right?
family, which has been a disastrous NFL owner, and I mean, Ford needed to be bailed out.
This is America tough. Man Campbell is going to go in there and make
Ford
it
tough.
Yes, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Man Campbell built Ford tough? He's going to go in there and he's going to make the Lions tougher than Justin Fields.
But if you find yourself managing partner of the Detroit Lions, no matter the lack of on-field success, you're still going to be feeling pretty confident about how things have gone for you personally. You think that you're responsible for a lot of success. It comes. It's how your head gets big when you're wealthy. It doesn't necessarily, they won't have the self-awareness to know that it's generational wealth. They feel like to a degree, their acumen has gotten them to that point in life. So why in one phase of their life, that doesn't even really matter to them all that much, are they not getting it right? Clearly, it's because the players are letting them down. I'm the guy for the job. You have enough to win here. I'm the right person to get the most out of these players. They're simply not tough enough. That is like pornography for an owner because it's basically the class system. Essentially, yeah, they're getting paid millions of dollars, but to an owner, that ain't shit. To an owner, that's Odell Beckham Jr. out there going out before a playoff game on a boat, not giving a freak.
Wow. You got scared around it. Freak. You're still not comfortable around it. You don't know whether we want to be a live thing.
And then I still said, so we had
there it is.
It's no surprise to me, at least, that one of the people who has been considered a forefront voice in changing the taunting penalty emphasis rule this year in the NFL has been John Mara, who, you know, famously had this huge spat with Odell Beckham a couple years ago. Odell Beckham, who's like a fashion icon, who's loud, who's himself, and got traded away to Cleveland, like basically the equivalent of getting exiled to Siberia because he couldn't get along with the front office, even though he was easily the best player on the team.
By Son of Wellington.
Wellington Mara, yes.
Son of Wellington had a problem with Odell Beckham and therefore changed how these men can talk to each other.
They had an argument. It was a beef Wellington.
No way.
That might be the best one ever.
No.
That was actually pretty good. Yeah.
That deserves a much better face. Beef Wellington.
You know what? I think we've got Beef Wellington with the Loser Game Show sound here as a show. I believe the entire show, this might be a first ever reversal.
Not above admitting I was wrong in this
Thank
instance.
You.
All right. Give it to him.
Wow. Oh my God. A historic.
Wow.
Wait a minute. You are
a reversal.
Above. You are above.
We threw challenge flags.
You know, we said today that you are above admitting when you're wrong.
Just with draft analysis, I think.
Is that? No, I don't think. And the Heat and just yesterday and Baker Mayfield and.
No, I still blame Mangini for Brady Quinn.
Did you find out? Because you've been trying and there are some people who are enjoying Baker Mayfield looking less than stellar. The first 2 weeks, super.
Some people, yeah, a lot of people do.
Super accurate first 2 weeks and good. It throwing the ball downfield first 2 weeks. And he hasn't looked elite. And some people are saying that you still don't know about your quarterback, and it feels like you're very defensive about this.
I'm always going to be defensive of the best quarterback I've had in my lifetime at that position. Always. Also, I had him at a very high grade, so I'm happy they drafted him.
Did you find out, is what I wanted to ask you, whether or not the Odell Beckham, because you were a dog with a bone on this one, whether Beckham had a touchdown, would have been an easy 70-yard touchdown in the league. We've gotten so used to these guys being precise that when somebody misses by 5 yards on even a deep pass, you're like, what the hell, man? Be more accurate than
Beckham
that.
Beckham certainly had one touchdown earlier that was entirely Baker's fault. I mean, I was busting out the All-22. I really don't know whose fault that was at the very last play that would have iced that game. A very good win for the Cleveland Browns, considering how poorly Baker played. That was Baker's worst game this season. He had a couple of bad ones last week, and yeah, he was good the first 2 weeks. You could even extend him the benefit of the doubt some in Chicago, considering how much pressure that he got, but he was really bad against a decent Minnesota team, and Cleveland still found a way to win. Baker needs to be a lot better for them to win a Super Bowl.
Billy, I have hurt for you today, because even though you are behind the mask there, there's not been enough Billy Gill in the show today. And I've asked a couple of different times, not wanting to bother you because you're in the dungeon.
Oh, I'm out of the dungeon.
The useless sound montage, you've been there a good amount of the show, and I'm just wondering how you're doing, because I've missed you. I've wanted to talk to you here, and you're just lost in this awful land that I'm beginning to think isn't worth the amount of time that you have to give it.
You know what? I've missed you too, Dan Le Batard, but we're out of the dungeon. It's ready if you want to go to it. I can give you the list. Boy. Let me walk in. Let me mosey on in there and give you the list if you want. Do you want it now? If not, we can do it later.
I want you to give us a preview. I want you to give us a preview of what we're in for here, how you feel about it, because you work a many, many hours on what ends up being two and a half minutes, 3 minutes, and it takes you out of too much of the show. The audience doesn't like it, and I don't like it. And as much as I love this segment, and it's one of our most popular segments, Stugatz, I don't... It takes Billy out of the show, so what do you think we should do?
I think we should play it, but I think Billy needs to... Billy has gotten this thing down to a science. Like, he's really good at it. And I know the audience doesn't like Billy coming out of the show for as long as he's out of the show doing this, but they get the prize, Dan. They get, like, a little pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and that is a useless sound montage, which they love very much. Almost as much as anything on this show. So Billy has to stay entrenched in hell. Sorry.
Thanks,
you guys. All right. Got it. Speaking of, let me close the loop on Baker Mayfield.
He stinks.
In summary.
I don't
14 think, to 33, Mike.
I don't think he stinks. What I said at the end of last season is I don't think he's, when things break down, is he elite enough to rise above a bad scheme or a lack of talent or an obscene amount of pass rush from the defense? No, I think he's good enough to win. He needs to tighten stuff up. I do think he's hurt. That offensive line on his blind side in particular has been unsettled, but these are all excuses. I think he's feeling pressure because he is hurt a little sooner, and he's sailing balls. But also, you said his first two games were really good, and his last two games not so much. Odell Beckham Jr. has come back in those last two games. Yep. Now, I watched that game again. Odell is getting plenty of separation. I don't know if he throws in an extra double move in there and Baker still hasn't been able to get used to it.
How can this be?
For the life of me, I don't understand.
How can this be? I don't. We've had this in this conversation since he got there. And it's puzzling in ways that don't have a good explanation that I've heard for all the people analyzing football. How the hell does Odell Beckham get there? It's a small sample, but how is it that he gets there and it doesn't look right? They cannot. Odell Beckham is one of the best we've ever seen. His catch radius is absurd.
He was one of the best we'd ever seen. As I identified on the Sunday Night Show, it's been a long time since we've seen
Odell. So is his body broken? Is that what it is? Because he started the season. He might not be healthy either.
He's getting separation, though. He got separation against Minnesota. It's very clearly a timing thing. Baker's also sailed balls. Baker's dealing with that shoulder on his non-throwing shoulder, that injury there. They can't get on the same page. And it's lazy for me to take the take that I took on Sunday, which is you just got to trade Odell. One of the options available is Baker can figure this out. But the sample is growing. It's not such a small sample anymore. And at this point, if it is just as simple as he can't go through all of his progressions and be as accurate with Odell Beckham Jr. on the field, yes, that's a strike against Baker. But unfortunately, Odell's going to have to pay for it because we're better with Donovan Peoples-Jones out there.
Mike, help me out with this, because the first season, Odell had, I think, 70 to 80 catches, over 1,000 yards, not a ton of touchdowns.
It was just okay. It was just an okay season. But, for him, this is...
Right.
Yeah, he could give you 200 yards any game, and we were coming off of Josh Gordon being there. Like, that didn't...
But Mike's watching all these games. I'm just interested. Like, philosophically, their entire offense has changed, where they're not trying to throw the ball all over the field. They're running the ball predominantly.
Yeah, same. Stefanski brought in a more run-oriented offense to the point that it opens up so many individual matchups, and you can see exactly where Odell Beckham Jr. can help this team. If those passes are on target, Odell's a hell of a weapon for Stefanski, who relishes getting the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. in space, and Odell still has those shifty moves and the speed to pull away from guys. I just don't understand why. There must be something going on. I would love to get Baker Mayfield on True Serum.
Let's get someone to explain it to us. Let's get someone who understands.
I know just the person.
Let's get a person who knows a lot and breaks down film and can help us with the analytics.
Jake Burns, coming your way.
All right, let's figure out how to do that.
Look, this is the opposite of analytics. Imagine that. Sometimes it's all just the broad strokes. Nobody on earth is arguing that Odell Beckham Jr. is the player today that he was 3 or 4 years ago. He isn't. He just isn't. He's still pretty good. He's not the elite player he used to be. And number two, Baker Mayfield is in that broad category of second-tier quarterbacks. He's inconsistent. He's going to look very good for two games, and you're going to go, wow, he's turned the corner. Baker's our guy. He's great. And then he's going to be Baker Mayfield for a couple of games, and you're going to go, well, maybe he's not quite that great.
This is
I
all
don't even know what you mean by he's general, going to be Baker Mayfield.
No, this is very general analysis. I can't wait to pair that old-school journalist who doesn't want data against what you're about to bring us here, which is somebody who actually is watching what he's doing
right.
And wants the information. You're an expert, but you're a grizzled dinosaur.
Yeah, I don't watch Browns games. Come on.
But and breaking this down, the way you did that was super general.
Right.
He'll be good one game. He won't be good another.
Well, it's true, though.
It is true, but it's not. It's next to nothing what we were talking about.
Right. When Patrick Mahomes has a bad game, it's not really a bad game. It's right. Just not great.
Yes.
But the Mahomes, the Darnolds and the Mayfields, when they're bad, they tend to be pretty bad.
Why are you not buying my philosophy of their philosophy has changed? Their leading receiver is Kareem Hunt.
I am.
Like Beckham's not going to get those numbers.
I am not dismissing. No, what you're saying, I want more analysis than that.
Okay, sorry.
But yours, I'm sorry that you didn't get enough credit for your analysis.
I feel like I nailed it.
You have some of the worst Browns analysis I have ever heard. Their leading receiver is Kareem Hunt because Odell missed the first two games.
Right.
Jarvis has missed the last two games. They spread the ball around. They're tight end dependent. It's a total coincidence that Kareem Hunt is the leading receiver right now.
And the offense has changed. They're running the football.
But what I would like.
The offense was the offense last year.
But how is that bad analysis? I'm the guy who told you Baker doesn't need to be great.
Odell was there last year.
He's objective. Reacting to your bad analysis of you just got done saying he stinks was your analysis, and you've been saying for 10 games, Mike, you've got a good quarterback.
Well, now Mike's got a good team. I'm not certain about the quarterback.
But this is the part he's objecting to is where you're even somehow lazier than Greg Cody's analysis.
I gave you good analysis. I
mean, the only thing worse than your Browns analysis is your Georgia analysis. You keep saying they beat Clemson. Who's Clemson? They didn't just beat Clemson.
Yeah.
They thoroughly dominated Clemson.
They're mauling everybody. Georgia is clearly
with the quarterback. Like Stetson Bennett is a decent quarterback for them. Did you see what Arkansas did yesterday? It wasn't just don't say Arkansas was bad. I think seven of their series, and they might have had 11, ended in three and out. They got thoroughly dominated.
Have you seen something? I don't know what this is called exactly because I'm not a farm person. But whatever it is that mows down wheat that moves as a vehicle through a cornfield.
Right. Harvester.
Is that what it's called?
I think.
That is the Georgia front seven is that, and then their corners are also and their defensive backs are big and fast. It felt like a machine. Arkansas out physicals you. You want to talk about whether Urban Meyer can make your team tougher? We were talking for 3 weeks about Arkansas will womp you. All they do is womp. They're not even there to win or lose. They're just there to get into a physical fight. And it looked like they were thrown into a harvester.
Sugats keeps saying they played Clemson and Clemson is not good. That offense is no good.
They're not.
And they played Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt's obviously no good. When they played Clemson, Clemson rushed 23 times. They had two total yards. I don't care if Clemson is a really bad Power 5 team. You hold a team to 2 yards rushing on 23 attempts, You're friggin' dominant.
Okay, and you have no idea if George is good, nor does anyone, until
Shut
they
up.
Play
yes,
Alabama.
Yes, I do. I know George is good.
That is the barometer.
I know George is good.
Play Alabama. No. And if they lose to Alabama, game, so are
Alabama's also very good. George is really good.
So no quarterback can be good unless he's Mahomes, and no team can be good unless they're Alabama. That's where we are in your analysis.
They won that
Pretty
game.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
They won that game 10-3, and you're holding it against them. They won that game essentially with their backup quarterback, because JT Daniels isn't starting for them anymore.
Can we circle back to the conversation we were having, because I do think it's an interesting angle to look at the Urban Meyer thing, is people launch their jokes all over the place, and he'll be gone, and we'll do this with the next one. There will be some CEO of the future. This machine is a bit of a harvester. You may see that at ESPN now, Mike Greenberg is the host of the big NBA show, and Rachel Nichols has been tossed to the side, and Maria Taylor no longer works there. And after the summer of George Floyd and everything that happened at ESPN, the problem that Rachel Nichols was complaining about on a private tape, Stugat, whatever it was, the power, everything is realigned, and soon Peyton and Eli will be back on your ESPN Plus streaming as the guys who get the commercials and the broadcasting jobs, the last white power position jobs in those sports, the leaders of men. The Jason Witten is getting a job in the big booth, Jason Witten, because we're going to give all those jobs to the white Cowboys. And Michael Irvin can have some jobs too, but not those jobs. Not the jobs that speak in partnership on behalf of the league with their big billion-dollar partners. Warren Sapp and Michael Irvin can work over there as part of the NFL Network doing their Miami dances. But the big jobs, the Papa John's commercials, until recently, Papa John's got a problem on his hands, so now it's Shaq.
Yep.
Papa John's has got Papa John said, oh, okay, I got to figure. You know, the whole Papa John's thing is, We go white quarterback, and then Papa John's himself uses the N-word, and now Shaq's in the commercials.
Did you see how he tricked his employees?
What a disguise.
They didn't know it was him.
Yeah, it was great.
And then he took it off. It was like undercover boss, but a commercial.
How's that possible?
It's not possible.
You Stugat. Here's the useless sound montage.
Disappointing outcome, but it's nothing mystical about it.
When you have a guy like Terry, you want to give him a shot to make a play. He makes plays days in, day out.
Part of being able to do this the right way is being able to handle the ebbs and flows.
Just tough, you know, always to dig yourself out of a hole.
Everybody wanted to make this all up about Brady and Belichick. I don't think Bill played a snap.
You know, it's the NFL. Our guy's good, their guy's good. You know, our guy's just one about it today.
Our guys are wired the right way.
We're this close, and that's something that I believe. Continue to learn. Continue to be 1% better every day.
That's what it is, and that's what's going to be the rest of the year.
You got to keep enjoying this game. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game.
You know, we're all collectively in our circumstance together. We got to continually get better. Those are our intentions.
It's all about communication with the coaches, so the players, everybody, just to find ways to fix the issue, and we have to first identify the issue.
It was good to have a cheesesteak and a lot of other things, so it's good to be back.
You know, certainly a frustrating loss. Didn't put enough points on the board.
Obviously left some plays on the field.
We left some meat on the bone to say. I mean, we left some plays out there.
And this is what I'm going to say. You got every opportunity to learn, right? Every opportunity, everything that you do, you learn from it.
Our guys had great juice.
I can't tell you how fun it is to come to work on a daily basis when you have those types of guys in the building.
Everybody's saying this was a quarterback and a coach. This is a team sport. The Bucs won this game, all right? And we beat the Patriots.
I think it's a lack of focus, a lack of concentration, a lack of attention to detail. I think it's all those things. And that starts with me.
It starts with me, and it goes to my coaches.
We just played bad football today, and that starts with the head coach.
Green Bay, they played winning football, and we did not.
We got to do more. Got to do better.
Big week for him, but it was a bigger week for the team.
It was tough sledding. That's a whole different animal.
Feels like you got the monkey off your back.
No monkey on my back. I just go play, like I said. I mean, the past is the past, but we don't live in the past, so it is what it is.
Thinking about losing three in a row, thinking about losing one, thinking about losing two, I just don't think about it. It's not in my repertoire. It's not in my thought process, to be honest with you. I don't think about it. I just think about winning.
Right now, we're just a little bit off, and I'll look in the mirror and start pointing the thumb at me.
You know, really just start to really take it one play at a time and repeat that cycle over and over again.
You know, we had a splash play in the special teams to no avail.
What were some of the things you guys did to maybe try to keep the Bucs guessing offensively?
What did we try? I don't understand the question.
We need more detail in our play. And the detail to provide the splash that we need for the significant plays. Splash.
We just got to find a way to stop the bleeding.
A win is a win. Ugly ones count just the same as the, you know, the pretty ones do.
If you're not playing clean, splash plays or chunks of real estate. Yes.
We can't ride this roller coaster every week.
More importantly, about not liking where we are, it's about what we do about it as we move forward. And we won't blink. We just need to continue to get better. We need more detail in our play, more understanding, and that'll produce the splash that'll get us out of
state. Yes, splash!
Splash.
Oh, my God!
Billy was walking around the court like Steph Curry with three fingers held up for a while. I thought it was going to stop at three. That's as confident as I've ever seen you, Billy. Yeah, you knew you had the audience. You were spinning it on your finger because you just hit him with splash after splash. A fireworks show.
Splash. Splash.
Five of them. A record.
Splash. Splash.
Virtuoso splash. Performance from Tomlin.
Yes.
And Billy, too. What a poker face. You had five splashes.
And we got out of the stadium and we
splash.
Blink.
And there were intentions. Oh, my God. Billy, a masterpiece by you.
I couldn't have come sooner. Dan was just saying how he didn't like the segment anymore. Maybe we'll get rid of it. And then we get five splashes.
Well, this is the thing. It's music. It's art.
Splash.
How about Andy Reid, fresh out of the hospital, looking forward
to
a cheesesteak?
Just perfect.
Yes.
That one made me laugh, too. You just hear his voice, and he's like, I ate a cheesecake and a whole bunch of other things. Cheesesteak and a bunch of other things. It was great. Let me ask you this, Billy. Were you at all disappointed the way I was again and again after the soap opera drama storyline of what Bucs-Pats was for Bruce Arians at 69 years old to not be tired of lecturing us about we're the Bucs and we win as a team. They're the Pats. They're the Patriots. As if he was making some sort of good point on team play.
He did not want to give any. He hates Tom Brady. I'm just going to say it. Bruce Arians hates Tom Brady for some reason. He does not want to give him anything. Last season, remember, there was things where he was pushing back on him. Here, it was his big day, his return. He simply would not give it to him.
So
three different times.
Arians has to. He's got a tough love, Tom Brady, because he hasn't. And speaking of the coaching conversation that we're having, Tom Brady hasn't earned it enough. A little praise from his dried up daddy of a coach. He's got to talk about team this game. Like, he thinks that got the number it did because of the Bucs team? Because of the Dirk Cutter years?
Right. Well, Dan, Bill Belichick didn't play a single down. He told us
that. Right. I wish he had. That would have been great to see.
That would have been great. Right. One play. Your first victory, one. Tom Brady, in this. Like, it's not enough that you're the only guy to ever win a Super Bowl in the home city of Tampa Bay.
Right.
You win in every way. But as your prize at the end of this emotional week, 1 week, we're going to put Belichick out there on the field.
Where do you think he plays?
Where are you putting him?
I like him at defensive end, getting just pancaked by the right tackle.
So you have hot, and then you've got Belichick trying to run off the field, but Brady's calling one play, and what's the play he's calling? It's just trample Belichick.
Yeah, pretty
correct.
Much. Exactly. Right.
Run to the right.
We're going to put Ndamukong Suh on offense. We're going to put all our big guys and just chase Belichick down. I bet you Suh can get there faster than the genius leader.
Right. Trample him, and then we'll take a taunting penalty on top of that.
Yes.
That's no problem.
Oh, so no problem. Okay. Right. So Wellington Mara can give us a 15-yard taunt. Taunting penalty.
Correct.
How much would you pay to see that if I gave you that as the prize at the end of the highest rated game? Isn't that what Squid Game is about? Isn't Netflix's most popular show around something like that in premise? None of you watching that?
Have you guys seen the most recent scandal in Big Ten football? I thought of Billy when I saw this. There is legitimate beef Wellington between Mel Tucker and Greg Schiano.
No.
Yes.
What?
And at the heart of it is Mel Tucker has started using keep chopping as a mantra for Michigan State. And a quote from Greg Schiano.
Is he going to say he invented that?
Well, you have to keep in mind, Greg Schiano did coach on a staff with Chuck Pagano at one point. So maybe this was like...
You wanted Schiano a week ago. He got dusted by 50 points. You said you wanted the motherless prick at the University of Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, I want the motherless prick. And again, not a character assassination on Greg Schiano. There's just a classification of coaches that I call motherless pricks.
He bet on all of them this weekend. Yeah. Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban, king of all the motherless pricks.
Yeah, one huge flaw in betting on Lane Kiffin as my motherless prick of the week was that Nick Saban is like patient zero motherless prick.
Exactly.
So, but Greg Schiano says, we've been doing keep chopping since 2005. Yeah. That's become much more than a word in this program. Also, Greg, it's two words.
It is two words. We are the Lobos.
Yes, three words. Thank you. Appreciate the reference.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
I don't want your beak leaning over the plate.
Stugatz.
Step back, Jack.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
I would like to understand what is a great conundrum. Bill Simmons has been doing this for a long time, the Ewing theory. He invented the Ewing theory. It's better than chopping wood. And it's the Knicks sometimes appeared to be better when Ewing wasn't there, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And so Odell Beckham and the Browns, when he plays with Baker Mayfield, it doesn't look right. It isn't statistically right. And so Jake Burns is here with us. He does a podcast, the OBR, and it's breaking down film, and there's going to be some real expertise here. So I have wanted a genuine answer to this question, Jake, and thank you. Like, what's happening there? Is that real? Do they have a problem between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham that it just doesn't work between them two in a game that requires timing, precision, and chemistry?
Yeah, there's a problem both what your eyes are showing you and the data, right? Like the Pro Football Focus folks do a great job with quarterback play metric stuff, I think. And Odell on the field, Baker's a 68 career grade as a passer. Off the field, he's a 90 career grade as a passer. So the data kind of matches up with the eyes. And with the two on the field, I need to kind of be very clear here. And I think that Odell Beckham is still a very good wide receiver. He creates really nice levels of separation, and there's no better game to go watch to gauge whether that guy is back from the knee injury. He was open several times against the Vikings for big plays, touchdown-worthy plays. For some reason, there is a disconnect, and it's hard to sort of quantify the disconnect. But it is, to me, sort of easy to explain when you really think about quarterback play. For Baker Mayfield, he has always been, dating back to Oklahoma and his early Browns portions of his career, a very read-driven quarterback. If he's concerned about the other guy at the end of the read, I need to get the ball to Odell. I need to find him here, there, whatever. I missed him on this play. Maybe I need to then look at him where I need him to be. Is different play to play. So if he's missing him, part of Baker's idea is I need to force it to him on this play. And with Baker, if he's worried about who's on the other side of a read instead of just doing where his getting his eyes where they need to be, then it can be a problem. And I think what happens is he lingers on Odell when he shouldn't linger on him. And then when he gets back to thinking about I need to do the things I need to do, I need to find the right read, he's missing Odell when he's open. So they're not meshing in that sense. And two, it should be noted that Baker's not a big guy. He's a smaller quarterback. And as Drew Brees, the smart guys who have been really successful at this stuff for a long time, they'll talk about passing windows. You got to find passing windows because you can't see over the offensive line. And a lot of what Odell does is harder for Baker to see. Double moves, routes that end up pushing him into difficult portions of the field for a quarterback of Baker's stature to see, and that leads to him missing him sometimes. Now, I think it's gotten to the point where we all publicly know where this disconnect is happening. It's not a secret. The two aren't playing well together. And Sunday, you could see it written all over Baker's body. He's trying to get him the ball. I think they targeted him 9 times. They're trying to get him the football, And when he's open, say the perfect thing. If you go back and watch the game, on the last drive, the Browns are at 3rd and 5, have to get this first down. The game's over. They run a perfect post wheel combination. They get Odell matched up in the slot on Harrison Smith, a good safety by every regard, but not fleet of foot in his 30s anymore. They run a wheel route. He's wide open. Baker could have put the ball to the moon, lofted it, landed it right in his hands. It's a touchdown to end the game. Instead, he tries to rifle it in there to get it to him quickly, and it's behind him. I think he's just feeling this pressure to get Odell the ball, and the pressure is causing him to not go through the process of playing quarterback the right way in a very timing-based Kevin Stefanski system, and it's leading to just a quarterback who's trying to force a guy the football, and it's just not working. So I don't know if that's the perfect film analysis way to break it down, but you can see the pressure written on Baker's face to try to get him the football. And when he's trying to get him the football, it's the wrong time. When he's trying to go through the reads, it's not working out either because he's missing Odell. So it's just not meshing.
Stugatz, this is so interesting inside the weeds and the art of what this is, because you know the rate of speed all of this is moving around you, and we're all looking at it. We're like, why can't you just get it to Odell? And you see, you know, how these Watts and these Boses are coming around the corner and they're going to club the football out of your hands. And what he's telling you, we haven't talked about his height since the very beginning, is he can't see him. He can't see. We can see from where we're sitting, Odell Beckham. Oh, he's wide open. But he's dropping back to pass and forcing it to a guy mechanically that he's telling you some of the time he doesn't see. It must be very difficult to play the game back there when you can't do it more artistically than that. Naturally, just flowing within the game because you're forcing it to the one guy that you know is good, you know is probably open, but you can't see it.
Especially when that player is a bit of an artist out there and does certain things to help get himself open and is not necessarily ending up at the spot that Baker would assume he is because you can't see him.
What happened on that last play, though? That one didn't make any... That from where I was sitting, where we all were sitting, no, the game has gotten too precise for that. That's an easy touchdown. How is that not an easy touchdown between Baker Mayfield, who was 80% completion rate first 2 weeks on long passes, and he's wide open, and Odell Beckham is clearly great, and he just told you, safety, not fleet of foot. How? Did he not see him? On that play, he's got to see him. If he can't see him out there, when the hell is he going to see him?
I don't want to go over the top with not seeing him. I think there are some times where there's some route concepts that Odell's really good at that Baker doesn't quite progress the way that some bigger quarterbacks can see them, like Josh Allen does with Stephon Diggs sometimes. I don't think Baker's height's a detriment, so I'm really trying to be careful there. But what I do think is there's sometimes that progressions he doesn't find Odell, and then the next time, if you go back and watch, and I'm sure, Mike, you can attest to this, that 3rd down and 2 where he decided not to throw the ball to Demetric Felton in the flat. It's 3rd and 2, you got him wide open, and he's lingering on this bench route to Odell in the deep portion of the field, and it's like, why are you just not going with the first down throw right in front of your face? He ends up taking a sack. It made the rounds on social media. He actually did find him okay on Sunday, but he's just missing him. Like, he had a touchdown ball that he could have thrown to him on a little out and up early in the game where he had 2 steps on the corner, but the ball was so far behind him, it hit the corner who was trailing him in the back of the helmet. So I just feel like there's a lot of pressure for these two to get it right, and Baker is just not meeting his end of the bargain. You got to trust me on this. Odell is playing 2 weeks back from an ACL, is playing really well. He's separating, and he could have gone for 200 yards, but Baker's just missing him. So I don't know if there's a next level analysis to this. I think there's something in the back of a quarterback's mind, like Baker, who has never quite played with a wide receiver as dynamic as 13 is. I need to get him the football as many times as I can get him the football. And if I miss an opportunity to get him the football, I'm going to try to make up for that on the next one. And maybe he's bracketed on the next one and he lingers on it a little bit too long. And then somebody else is open that he misses. And then it's a whole downhill slide in terms of staying in front of the sticks and picking up first down. So I don't know. Is it fixable? Yeah, I think they can get it right. And I don't think Baker's going to go 0-for-7 on 20 plus yard downfield passes every week, but there's definitely there's a disconnect with the eyes and the data from people who do this stuff at Pro Football Focus for a living. They're saying the same things too. So it's a data issue and a film issue. And it's like, the biggest challenge for Kevin Stefanski and offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt is, how do we get these two guys to connect? Because if they can get those two guys to connect, You're genuinely between the defense talent and Cleveland looking at a real Super Bowl contender, but they got to find a way to get Baker to get on the right page with Odell.
But if you're a data issue and a film issue, then you're an issue. That's true. Like if you just said, okay, this is so, and now solve it.
Well, Jake is outlining a bunch of problems that don't necessarily seem correctable. Like Baker's not necessarily going to grow, but he also said there's a solution for it. I'm curious if the solution is Baker's kind of feeling pressure a little bit early right now because of how unsettled the left tackle position in particular has been. Is he getting rid of the ball a little too soon? And that might help explain why he's sailing some of these balls over the top to Odell.
Perhaps there's definitely a jitteriness to the way he approaches the position right now. I think that Baker has never been in his career a guy who feels really settled amongst chaos. You talk about the best quarterbacks in the league are comfortable when chaos is happening around him. He's not that guy. He's never been that guy. That doesn't mean he can't hit the schemed up throws, but how many times can an offensive coordinator, play caller, or head coach like Kevin Stefanski call perfectly schemed up throws? So there's definitely some things with Baker that you're going to have to work through for him to ever be a next level guy. He's got to get comfortable making plays out of structure, things like that. To me, it's just he's just missing the schemed up throws right now. And if you're missing the schemed up throws to guys like Odell, and you're not really an out of structure savant the way some of the other best in the league, the Mahomes, those types of Russell Wilson types, then you're in a pit of struggle. And right now that's where he's at. He's not hitting the easier throws. Then you're going to be even in a bigger boat of struggle when you start getting guys that pressure you like the Everson Griffins and Danielle Hunters and now the Boses of the world. So he's just got to settle in, try to calm himself down, stop worrying about forcing the ball to 13. And not that he is. Like, I think he was throwing to him in the right scenarios, but just try to relax and do the things that you've done your whole life dating back to Oklahoma and the places he's been before. Because if it continues to slide, which we don't want it to, if it continues to slide the way it is, there are going to have to be tough decisions made.
A lot of blah, blah, blah of like trade him or don't trade him from the data guy, where his analysis is the same as Cody's, which is he's got to get to the next level. Stop feeling pressure. Easy for you to say. Are you not watching what's happening in the backfields of those sports? Like, yeah. Stop feeling pressure. All right.
He's got Joey Bosa, yeah. Chandler Jones.
Stop feeling pressure. Great advice. Bearded data film guy.
Wouldn't they be better off without the pressure? Like that pressure to get Odell the ball. Wouldn't Baker be better off without that pressure? I mean, and the team?
I mean, you would think that it would help, but
Jake,
also like
trade him. Jake, trade him. I want
I'm
you.
I'm not saying that.
Jake, trade him.
Get look, a taller
Jake,
quarterback.
Jake, I understand.
Jake, you are a data guy,
a science guy. Brought you on for your expertise. Greg Cody's analysis was Baker's inconsistent, right. And Stu Gotts just laid a bunch of rabbit turds all over the show. Trade him or don't trade him. I'm tired of all this. The routes, the pressure, he can't see him. It's not working.
That's what we know right now. We have no evidence to the contrary.
It's not so going to work. It's not going to work. Data issues and film issues.
Why are you trying to shock the analyst?
Give him elevator shoes.
Jake, thank you for being on with us. Is there anything else here that you want to give us that would be illuminating? I was just fooling around. I'm joking.
No, we've covered it all. There's not a great answer to this conundrum. There really isn't, other than just the quarterback has to be better. And if he's better, then they'll start connecting. If he's not better, then we're going to keep having these conversations throughout the next few weeks.
Greg said that an hour ago.
That's right. Jake, that's true. You took 12 minutes to say the same thing that Greg did.
And at least I tried with offensive philosophy.
I mean, you can trade him to make him better.
That's why they pay me no money. So there we go.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.